A body-based goal is moving from the feeling the ego is trying to give you and recognizing that you already have access to it and you don't need to do anything in order to get it, in order to unlock it. The work is unlocking it. And that's what we're going to use our breathwork session today for. That's what we're going to use our meditation session today for, to begin practicing that and creating that shift from mind to body and feeling that in real time around what is it that your goals have been trying to unlock for you. Recognizing that it was already always within you. You just didn't know how to access it before.
Hey, this is Laura and you're listening to Expand. Welcome back, love. Let's get into it.
Like I was saying to everyone who's just starting to join now, when everybody first popped on, this topic went from very simple to very complex really fast for me. So I actually made a few notes, which I don't normally do, but I'm going to pop them up just so that I can keep myself in a flow and tease this apart in a way that will allow us to really land in the space together and come out of this with the clarity that I'm hoping to offer you. So before we jump in, I really want to set the stage with why I'm feeling like this is so complex. I feel like we all come from this place of having had lived experiences around the idea of goal setting, around the idea of setting intentions, around the idea of milestones or trajectories or things that we're supposed to be aiming for in life and in business, really. And because we've all had the experience of the very traditional, very masculine way of goal setting, who doesn't understand what I mean when I say that? Is everybody with me? We're okay? Okay. So because we've all had that experience where it's been very outcome-based, it's been very governed by statistics, by numbers, by measuring up to each other, comparing ourselves against each other, trying to achieve this ideal outcome, this ideal standard, and doing it all the right way. Because we've all had that experience, and now we're stepping into a season where we're starting to question that, where we're beginning to look at, okay, well, what actually feels aligned for me? And what is my intuition saying? And what would it be like just to surrender into the season that I'm in without setting outcome-based objectives or setting goals that require me to take very specific, rigid actions in order to attain them? What would that be for me? We've sort of swung to this other end of the spectrum where now that is the bad guy, where we've made egoic action-based goals the enemy. And I want to just invite us to move a little bit back towards the center in this conversation, because it's not that egoic action is bad. It's that the context in which we've taken action from our mind previously led us down a path that felt misaligned ultimately. It led us down a path where we experienced pain. It led us down a path where there was a requirement of us hiding certain parts of ourselves or abandoning parts of ourselves in order to meet the expectations that were being placed upon us, perhaps. And so I just want to be careful in how we're exploring the idea of taking action that could be defined as more masculine, if we want to, like going out and doing the things to make something happen for us, as not necessarily a bad thing. Because at the end of the day, the way that we discover new edges within ourselves, the way that we uncover areas of ourselves that we need to heal or work on in order to discover new creative outlets, new opportunities, it requires us to move in some way. Right? The idea that we can just surrender everything and just wait for things to come to us is great, but that's actually not what I'm talking about. And I think that there's a lot of confusion in the space between what manifestation is and what that could actually look like for you. So yesterday in the Bloom Room, Kelly and I invited in a conversation about doing versus being. And she came up with the idea of doobie, 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 do. So, which I think is just so cute. I love it. She's so adorable with that. I love it, love it, love it. And that's accurate. But to me, that also implies still separation. Do, be, do, be, do, be, do, right? And the more I sat with it, the more I was like, you know what? It's more like a fusing. It's more like, who are you being while you're doing? It's together. It's not one and then the other. It's at the same time. So I want to move into the conversation today with that in mind, right? It's not that taking action means we're moving from the ego and we're trying to force an outcome and look at me chasing these external goals and now I'm wrong for that and I shouldn't be taking this action and now I'm going to end up in the same place I was before with a misaligned business and da-da-da-da-da-da, right? Like, that's not it. It's who am I being first, understanding that, and then layering the action into who you're choosing to be so that the actions that you take are actually from that place, from within, instead of trying to get somewhere on the outside. And I think that's the difference for a lot of us. For a lot of us previously, we were taking action, setting goals, and moving towards something that was going to make us feel a certain way. This isn't new information. We've spoken about this a lot in these rooms. We've taken action to get somewhere, to feel a certain way in our life. And in this room today, I'm going to help you access that, maybe for the first time for some of you, internally, and create a plan, including actions, things that you're going to do, things you're going to move on, but from this place within instead of trying to get somewhere outside of you. Does that make sense? So yeah, is anyone confused on the tangibility of taking action and feeling unsure around whether they should be intentionally moving or whether that's completely ego and they're going to fall into the trap that they fell into before and they're going to end up in a bad spot? Or is everyone with me on this? Okay, I want to be really certain. This is really important. It's interesting as I began to tease that apart, I was really, Max, I gave you this advice today on rose gold. Like, we have to figure out where we want to start the conversation. And then from there, everything else can slot in. I had a really hard time trying to figure out where I wanted to start this conversation because it feels as though it's so complex and we've all had different lived experiences with goal setting, with how we're moving with our business, in our business, with each other, with mentors. And okay, good. I'm glad, Sam. Perfect. Thank you for that. And so I really just wanted to begin from that place of, ego is not the enemy. Ego is a part of you. And when we're moving towards something in our life, when we're setting goals in our business, ego gets to be there. And soul gets to be there because it's all you. It's all you. You can't control when ego speaks. You get to allow both parts of you to dance inside of the decisions that you're making and understand that just because there's a part of you that's saying, oh, if we launch this program in this way, then I can get this many clients in it and I'll make this amount of money. Like, that's an egoic outcome-based goal, right? Just because that's still present in you doesn't mean it's wrong to launch that program. And I see a lot of us getting stuck in this, especially as we increase our awareness around soul. Because we want to give our soul the chance to speak. We want to lead from heart. We want to make decisions that feel nourishing and aligned and are going to leave us feeling free or loved or connected or significant in some way beyond the grip of the ego. But is it okay that ego still thinks sometimes? Is it okay that ego's still in the room sometimes and pulls our attention sometimes? It is. It's okay that that's there. It's okay that your mind automatically calculates how much money you're going to make if you get 10 people into your program. That's okay. Let's not use that as a sign that that's not the direction to move in. Today, we're going to talk a lot about mind-based goals versus body-based goals and the interplay between them, and actually how to take a mind-based goal, which would be egoic in nature, and shift it into the body. And then from that place, explore if that's the direction that you want to move from or not. The mistake we make is we stay in the mind. So when the ego goes, oh yeah, if you created this program and you got 10 people in, you'll be making this much money and then you'll feel safe, right? For most of us, that's where we stop. We look at that and we go, oh, that makes logical sense. I'm going to move towards that because if I follow that path, then I'll feel safe, without realizing that there's this whole other part of you. There's this whole other part of you that already knows how to feel safe. And it's inviting that part in to speak before moving in the direction of the ego that's crucial here, because we can work with the same goal in completely different ways if we take the time to access our body before we move. Okay, Christine says, I imagine in some sense the ego can always be helpful. Yes, I'm glad you're speaking into this. It's easy to demonize it always, but it's not that black and white. It's not that black and white. The ego is our protector. The ego is our safety. It's our meaning maker. It just screws up sometimes. It overprotects. It helicopter moms us a lot of the time, right? That's basically what it is. The ego is like a helicopter mom. Does anybody not know what I mean when I say that? Is that a Canadian term? Okay, you guys get it? Yeah. Yeah, the ego is like our helicopter mom. It's like, okay, wait. Are you safe to do this? Is this going to be okay? Like, let's make sure that we cover all of our bases so that you don't end up hurt and we don't experience that pain again. That's your ego. How cute. How sweet of it to think that we need it to do that. The ego wants you to come inside before the light comes on. Yeah, exactly. So when we think about that, when we think about doing versus being, and we explore, sorry, I have to take off my bracelet. That's annoying me. I'm like clanging it on my desk and it keeps distracting me. When we think about doing versus being and the role of the ego and how we all innately have ego-based goals, like we can't deny that. None of us are pure enough to say that we don't have an outcome that has an objective that has an outcome attached to it that would feel good for the ego. We all have that part of us, right? But when we exist in that, and we break it down a little bit further, looking at the mind-based goal of the ego, it's always rooted in doing something externally, right? It's always rooted in where I'm going next, what I'm achieving next, and what that's going to give me, or the perception of what it's going to give me. And the issue with that is that the mind thinks it knows. The mind thinks that it can predict the future. It's like, oh yeah, if you do this thing, and then you do that thing, you'll for sure get there. For sure. Trust me, it says. And we do. We don't question it. We just trust it. Oh yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense, because we've already either lived it in some capacity, or we've been shown it and have evidence of it in our life through mentorship, through people that we've been in contact with in the coaching space, through other entrepreneurs in our life. We have evidence of it working for others, and therefore we can see how it would work or should work for us as well. But working and doing something right is purely based on the rigidity of the outcome that we're seeking. And therein lies the flaw. Therein lies the flaw of the ego, because it's only seeing one path and it's only seeing one outcome, and it's aiming for that. And any deviation from that one singular outcome to the ego is failure. Even if the outcome we get is better for us, for our growth, for our evolution, for the path that we're actually meant to walk, ego can't see that. The ego is limited by our current perception of possibility. The ego, let that sink in. The ego is limited by our current perception of what is possible. And our current perception of what's possible is created by what we've already experienced. And that is it. We're creating these goals, these mind-based goals, based on what we've already experienced, which is keeping us where? In the exact same fucking place we currently are. And the really hard thing is that where we are is often where we're trying to escape. A lot of the time, where we are holds a lot of pain, especially as entrepreneurs. If we're not making the money we want to make, if we don't have the clients we want to have, if our program doesn't feel complete, if we don't know where we're going next, we're constantly experiencing some amount of discomfort, constantly. I was just chatting, I don't think she's here. No, Trang's not here. I was just chatting with Trang about this on Rose Gold today, around how we as entrepreneurs, as coaches, are forever going to be in these ebbs and flows of feeling stretched, being uncomfortable, and then entering into the valleys of ease where things are good. And then we're going to seek out another flow, another peak of discomfort, because in the discomfort is where we're growing, is where we're evolving. But when we're exploring the mind-based goals of the ego, if the ego is controlling where we're going and it's only basing our destination off of where we've been has been composed of a lot of pain and a lot of opportunities to learn a lesson that we are failing to learn, because if we learned it, that would mean death to the ego. Can you see that? We are reliving cycles of the same pain over and over again, because the ego is really smart. It creates problems for us to fix so that we can feel good, but never actually evolve out of where we're at. So that's why when we're thinking about like creating a new program, what does the ego do? Well, you need a website and you need this funnel and you need the perfect marketing strategy and you need all of this content and we need to launch a podcast. And here's all the things that you can do, all the problems you need to fix so that you can feel good and productive. Meanwhile, I'm keeping you exactly where you are right now. None of those objectives are actually moving you forward. None of them feel stretchy. None of them require evolution. All of those things feel really comfortable because you're doing something and logically we can justify it, but none of that is actually changing who you are. None of those goals are actually shifting who you are, how you feel in your life, how you feel about yourself, the way you view yourself, what you see as possible. None of those things are asking you to think beyond what your current perception of possibility currently is. You're just existing in your current perception of possibility, and you're creating busy work inside of that to make yourself feel good. That's the biggest trap I've seen. It's the biggest one I've fallen into time and time and time again. Time and time and time again. Over and over and over again. And I'm sure I'll fall into it again at some point. I'm sure I will, because that's the work of the ego. It wants to keep you safe. And so it wants to keep you the same, because it knows what to expect right here. Remember, the ego is the helicopter mom. Don't do anything too dangerous. Don't do anything too risky. You can go to the playground directly across the street, but don't go down the slide because it's too high. Right? Like, that's your ego. But what if you want to go down the slide? What if you want to go down the street and play with your friends? Could we? We could. But we need to create inner safety in order to do that. Because right now we're relying on our mom, on our helicopter mom, to tell us that we're safe. And if we learn how to access that safety from within, now we can run down the street and play with our friends because, yes, mom, I see that you're concerned, but I know I'm safe. I can see that you're worried, but I know I'm okay. And that's enough for me. So when we talk about like mind-based goals versus body-based goals, that's the distinction. And we're going to go further into this in a minute. But a body-based goal is anchored in moving from the feeling that the ego is trying to give you and recognizing that you already have it within you. And you can make decisions from that place. Okay, a body-based goal is moving from the feeling the ego is trying to give you and recognizing that you already have access to it and you don't need to do anything in order to get it, in order to unlock it. The work is unlocking it, and that's what we're going to use our breathwork session today for. That's what we're going to use our meditation session today for, to begin practicing that and creating that shift from mind to body and feeling that in real time around what is it that your goals have been trying to unlock for you, recognizing that it was already always within you. You just didn't know how to access it before. And trust in that and place more, and this is the key, place more trust in that than you do in your helicopter mom. I'm forever calling the ego the helicopter mom now. So good. I didn't even plan that. So good. I love it. It's perfect. Perfect for the ego. Right? The other piece to trying to plan for doing things the right way is when we try to do things the right way to get to a very specific outcome that our mind has decided it needs to feel good, what do we suffocate? What doesn't get to exist if we're hyper-focused on doing things the right way? Creativity, innovation, intuition, flexibility, fluidity, permission to change our mind, right? How many of us set goals? I used to do this. I would set goals quarterly. I would do like a quarterly review, and then I'd set my goals for the next quarter, and it was very planned and very strategic. And so often I would spend all day, like all day. I shared this with you guys on Wednesday, all day, or yeah, Wednesday, yesterday, sitting with it and planning it out and making it all pretty and rewriting my list so that it looked really good because somehow that felt more inspired. And then I would close that book and I would just like move with my life and be like, oh, it's time for my quarterly review. And I'd open this book again and be like, oh, I did nothing on that list. I've completely changed my direction. Nothing applies any longer. And I used to make myself really wrong for that. What I used to do is like, oh, I didn't do any of this. I need to carry it over now into this quarter. But what I wasn't realizing is I didn't do any of it because maybe I evolved beyond that. Maybe I wasn't meant to. Maybe it wasn't meant for me. I don't know. Maybe it was. And I just didn't have the capacity at the time to access it. Maybe I wasn't connecting with it in my body and that's why I didn't do it. But when we focus on doing things the right way, it's really easy to make ourselves wrong for not accomplishing the things that we decided we wanted to accomplish. Right? Because at some point we decided that that was what needed to happen in order to get where we were going to go. But what we do in that moment is we deny the fact that other opportunities have perhaps opened up that could get us somewhere better or could get us where we want to go faster. But when we live in this very limited perception of what our mind knew to be true at that point, and we just continue to copy those goals forward without allowing ourselves to pivot and evolve and get creative and innovative and think for ourselves, then we continue to imprison ourselves at a certain frequency in our life. We continue to recreate the same obstacles because we're not learning the lesson. We're not learning the lesson that it was never about the goal. We're not learning the lesson that it's safe to trust where we intuitively are already moving to go with that energy, to follow that energy. Right? Have you guys experienced this, or am I alone in this? Where you like, yeah, don't accomplish your goal and you carry them forward, carry them forward, carry them forward. Okay, this is the month. This is the month. This is the month. Right? This is my time. This is my year. For the last 10 years, I've been saying, this is my year. No joke. Literally until this year. This is my year. This is my year for fucking what? Right? To prove to the world that I am successful by their standards? No. No more. No more. So when you think about doing things the right way, there's a feeling beneath that, isn't there? There's something we're trying to get to. There's somewhere we're trying to reach internally by doing things the right way. Where are my people pleasers at? I see you. Yeah. It's not just for people pleasers. We all do this, but it's amplified for people pleasers for sure. Okay. We have this pattern innately within us. So when you think about doing things the right way, I want you to hold an example of either a mind-based goal that you have had recently, maybe in the last few months or at some point over the last year. Something that you were trying to figure out how to do it right. Create a program, launch a podcast, launch a blog, sell a client, coach a client through a particular situation, like anything where you were trying to figure out, how do I do this right? Okay, do we all have something? Take a minute. Okay, so I want you to just, in your mind, answer these questions. I'm gonna give you some space, okay? If you did that the right way, then what would have happened? Answer that in your mind, just close your eyes, picture it. If I had done that the right way, what would have happened according to my ego, according to my mind? And if that had happened, that means that I would have been, who would you have been? What would you have been? Accomplished, successful. And if I was that, that means I would have felt what? I'm going to say this one more time in case anyone got lost. If I had done that one thing the right way, this would have happened. And if that had happened, that means that I would have been blank. What would you have been? As a person, what would your experience have been? And if I was that, that means that I would have felt what? In the comments, in the chat, put what would you have felt in a word or two. Good enough, secure, safe, validated, confident. Yes, yes, yes. Recognized, validated, worthy, more confident, secure, financially free. Oh, this worked out so much better than I was expecting. It's perfect. All the core needs, exactly, Nicole. Significant, connected, loved, safe, free. I don't see, okay, financially free. I see financially free pop up. Perfect. What about like emotionally free? Yeah. Okay. Beautiful. So I had very similar, I was anticipating what was going to happen. And I had very similar words jotted down in my notes, like safe, validated, freedom, validation, significance, love, belonging, acceptance, worthiness. Those were all the words that I was anticipating to come up in this. Notice how our mind interprets by doing things the right way I'll get over here eventually. Like there's this path that it takes you through and we don't realize it because it's a few steps in, right? On the surface, we're just like, I just want to do it the right way. Just tell me how to do it the right way. Just tell me what to say. Just tell me what to do. Give me the boxes to check. But what we're really saying is, I just want to feel free. I just want to feel safe. I just want to feel worthy. Tell me the boxes to check. Tell me the things to do. I just want to get there. You see this? But what if you believed that you were already there? How would that entire scenario have changed for you? Close your eyes for a second. Let's play with this. Close your eyes. Same scenario you chose. Now imagine whatever word you put in the chat, whatever word came to mind, however you wanted to feel by doing things the right way. Can we create that feeling in our body right now? Free, secure, safe, hand on heart. I am safe. I am secure. I am confident. And then put yourself back in that scenario, moving from that place of inner safety. Would you have done something differently? If you already felt financially free, would you have done something differently? If you already felt confident, would you have looked for confidence outside of yourself? Would you have asked for the support from the people you asked for? Would you have asked for guidance from the people you asked for? Or would you have trusted yourself? Would you have followed your intuition? Would you have moved a bit faster? When you're done, open your eyes. Christine says, I'm laughing because the goal I had in mind, I did technically achieve. Yeah. Okay. It was to have 1,000 Instagram followers by the end of 2022. Okay. I thought at that point I'd feel more successful and would get more clients and therefore would be more fulfilled. Oh, how I've learned how little Instagram followers matter to any of my feelings. Bree says, I can relate to that. It almost feel like made me feel worse. So I reached 1,000 and nothing more is happening. How beautiful, because isn't that the exact the same thing that happens with our clients? How perfect, Bree. How perfect, right? You're a mirror to your clients. Nothing outside of us will ever allow us to access what it is our mind is telling us it's going to access. Because remember, if it did, that would mean death to that part of us. I'm going to say that again. This is really important. The reason why this is an illusion is because the ego wants us to continue operating at the same frequency it's currently at, with the same limited sense of possibility, with the same realm of reality, the same frequency. So if we actually get to a place where we feel free, if we actually get to a place where we feel safe, if we actually get to a place where we feel confident, that part of us is no longer has a purpose. That part of us has to change. That part of us has to die, has to shift. And the ego is our protector. The ego will fight before it just leads us down the path that means its own death. The ego will never self-sacrifice. The ego will always sacrifice you for its own survival. That's not a cruel thing. It's a survival thing. It's a biological process. It's something you can't control for, but it is something we can understand and hold compassion for and be aware of. Jamie says, it's strange because I already have this place of deep inner confidence and security, but my ego talks me out of it. Mm-hmm. Because you've begun this work, Jamie. You've begun learning how to access it, but remember, patterns are grooved. Your ego has been running the show your whole life. You've only just begun to access this inner pool of self-confidence. So the ego can really quickly hijack it because it's not quite strong enough yet to fight back. which is where we're going to talk a lot today in a little bit, but creating that space for you to recognize where the ego is trying to hijack that inner confidence and really like sitting with both parts of you and not pushing the ego away. Cause that's our tendency. It's like, okay, wait, no, that's not what we want to do. We want to welcome it in closer and go, I see you, helicopter mom. I see you. It's okay. But I actually have this pool of inner confidence inside of me. And I don't need you to tell me where to get it outside of me anymore because I have it here. See, it's right here. So thank you. I'm so grateful for you. We'll talk later. You see the difference? The more we're aggressive with that part of us, the more shaming and blaming we become. And remember, the ego is a part of who we are. When we shame and blame the ego, we're shaming and blaming ourselves. When we push the ego away, we're pushing a part of ourselves away. This isn't about switching what part of ourselves we listen to. It's about becoming whole for the first time ever and understanding that every part of us has a role to play in that. Right? Every part of us has a role to play in that, and you're going to need your ego in the future. You don't want her to abandon you entirely or him to abandon you entirely. You want it there. Yeah. Nicole says, my goal is to learn how to do sales calls. Okay. Yeah. What was really amazing was my last call I did this week was so different. No slides, no script, just had the goal to connect, listen, and help them see things in a new way. The way I felt afterwards was amazing, even though I don't know yet whether she will actually be a client. Yes. That's exactly what I mean. You moved from this place of my deepest desire is to feel connected to this person and I have no outcome attached to this goal in mind. Let me just pour into her and trust myself in this. You know, and it's okay that the ego is there still going, it'd be really nice if they signed up. Maybe I should text her just to see where she's at. And like, it's playing those little games, right? That's okay. See it and then come back to this. You see what I mean? Like see that happening and then come back to, no, my goal was to connect and I feel connected to myself and I feel connected to her and I'm going to trust that that's enough and that I've opened the space for her to step in when she's ready. I don't need to egoically move on this. Okay. So as you may, we've talked about this a little bit, but I'm going to lay it out straight. Okay. In order for a mind-based egoic goal, like mastering sales calls or getting another client or whatever. In order for a mind-based goal to become a body-based goal, two things have to happen. We have to first understand three things I guess need to happen. First, we have to understand what chasing that mind-based goal we were trying to get from it. We were trying to get from chasing that mind-based goal, the feeling that you all uncovered. Keep in mind, the feeling that you all just uncovered for that one single goal is probably your through line. So if you were chasing inner confidence or security or freedom from that one goal, that's probably what you're chasing with most of your mind-based goals. Okay, that's not always 100% true, but there definitely is a theme that will emerge if you start to play with this more. So keep that in mind. So we need to know what it is that we're chasing. We need to understand how to access that internally and practice that. And that's key. We have to learn how to practice reaccessing that and then intentionally moving from that place, which we're going to talk about today. We're going to move through that process. And we need to be able to detach from the outcome that we get. The ego is trying to control a specific outcome. It can see only one outcome, maybe two. If I do this, then this is who I'll be, and this is how I'll feel, and this is what I'll get. That's the ego, right? But what if we move from this is who I am, this is how I feel. And then we follow that to take an action that actually amplifies that feeling, like Nicole stepping into that sales call with that pure intention and then being open to the outcome that we get. Trusting that the outcome that we get is actually what we needed. And that the path that's being laid down in front of us is better than the path our mind ever could have predicted. Because remember, life is trying to give you new opportunities to evolve out of the old version of you. And if we try to egoically control where we're going, we're just going around in circles. Because the ego only knows what it's known. It's only known what it's lived, what it has evidence of. So it can only shoot for outcomes based in that current state of reality. The ego can't see, like, oh, maybe I'll get this. The ego's not creative, right? The ego believes in right versus wrong. It believes in black versus white. It believes in one linear path. It believes in controlling the outcome, because all of that creates an inner sense of safety, security, significance as well. Love, connection. We get that if we follow that path, don't we? We've all experienced this where we had a goal and we followed the path and maybe we did succeed. Like Christine, I actually got my goal. I hit 1,000 followers. I actually achieved this egoic goal. And for a moment, you're probably like, oh, look at me. And then what did the ego do? Okay, but you still don't have the money. You still don't have the clients. We're not done. That must not have been it. Keep going. Yep. Now I need 5K. Exactly. Exactly. That. Exactly. But what cycle are you on? Oh, I hit 1,000K. Okay, let's hit 5K. Do, 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 do. Oh, I hit 5K. Oh, okay, great. You're still not there. Why don't we go for 10? Do, 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 do. And meanwhile, you're just going around and around and around versus surrendering whatever your Instagram account is going to be and recognizing that that's a purely egoic-based goal and reaccessing, okay, that was going to give me the security of having a thriving business and having clients coming to me. So I'm really chasing security. What would it look like to learn how to access that security from within and from that place, open myself up to think creatively, innovatively, and begin to move in the direction that my body wants me to move in, recognizing the ego is going to be there, but it's no longer running the show. The external thing will make you happy, feel good for a few minutes. Exactly that. Exactly that. It does give you that quick little hit, right? Because that's what the addiction is. If we didn't get that, none of us would fall into this cycle. So we'd be like, we'd get to 1,000K and we'd be like, oh, fuck this. We do get it, even if it's fleeting. Bree says social media needs to give us the option to hide us from our own follower accounts. Because you know what's interesting on that? Do you remember a while back when Instagram was rolling out the feature of like hiding how many people liked your post? That felt so freeing to me. Did anybody else feel free in that? When I couldn't see how few people were actually liking my stuff, I was like, oh, thank God I don't have to look at that number anymore. Nothing changed. But my awareness of it, my perception of it, because I wasn't getting that external feedback anymore constantly. I use that feature all of the time. Yes, exactly. Exactly. But would that have mattered if I felt secure with myself? Would I have cared how many people liked my post if I actually just trusted myself? If I felt safe with what I was putting out there, if I didn't need external feedback to tell me that what I wrote was good? Did anybody else used to post something and then like refresh their feed for the next hour to see how many people liked it? And then if enough people didn't like it in an hour, you'd delete it? Yeah, we all do this. We all secretly do this. Myself included. I used to do that too. It's like, oh my God, this is embarrassing. No one can see this. Delete. Yeah. No one likes me. Delete. Yeah. Or going through your own Instagram story to see how many people have viewed it. Exactly, Brie. Say, yeah, exactly. Exactly that. And what is that? We're looking for evidence, aren't we? We're egoically seeking out evidence that we are in fact safe, that we are in fact loved, that we are in fact connected. And if we're not, instead of learning how to access that from within, we egoically delete it so that we don't have the external reminder that we're not, and we chase the next thing. Oh, I'm going to make my next reel better. I'm going to make my next Instagram post better. And then what does that do? It puts us in a cycle of never enoughness, never good enough. Because the outside world decided that for me. And my ego used that as a reminder that I'm not. Something that was so challenging for me, it was sharing vulnerably and no one liking or commenting on it. Yes. Yes. I've said it before in, I can't remember what room it was, but vulnerability with the expectation of receiving vulnerability back is not true vulnerability. Yeah. Which is really hard. Vulnerability comes from here. Right? We can't egoically construct vulnerability because then it's just a mind game we're playing to try and get something. Remember, if we're moving from the mind, there's always a destination. There's always a right way and a wrong way, a right outcome and a wrong outcome. That's how we know. That's how we know where we're moving from. Because if we're moving from here, it feels good just to be vulnerable. And whatever the outcome is fine. Whatever the outcome is fine. So when we're thinking about, oh my gosh, I'm getting lost. Are you guys good for a couple of hours? If you guys have to go, this is going to end up going 2 hours. I just opened my notes. I'm like, okay, where am I at? And I'm like, barely. Oh, goodness. Welcome to my room. Okay, so when we think about body-based goals, moving from the mind, I'm going to have to watch the replay. I have to hop off. No worries, my love. So glad to see you. When we think about mind-based goals versus body-based goals, I just shared with you how to take any mind-based goal and make it a body-based goal is by doing those three things: understanding where you're going, understanding what that mind-based goal was giving you, accessing it from within, right? And then detaching from the outcome. All three of those things are really hard to do. All three of those things take a lot of practice and space, and that's okay. We're going to practice it today, but there are other elements of a body-based goal that I want to explore with you. When we think of a body-based goal, and this has really been my practice over the last 6 months or so, and definitely moving into this year, thinking about how is the action I'm taking going to open me to meeting myself in a new edge? And how is that going to change me as a person? And if the action I'm taking isn't changing me, then I know that I'm stuck in a mind-based goal. This is where the distinction between surrender and taking action that's rooted in the truth of who we are is made. Okay, I'm going to say it again in different words. When we move from a body-based goal, when we understand how to access that innate, I'm going to use safety because that's mine. It's always safety that I'm chasing. When we learn how to access that innate safety from within, and I'm able to detach from the outcome, the ability to do that is anchored in understanding that where I'm moving does have an outcome, but it exists within me. It doesn't exist outside of me. Actions always have outcomes, right? We can't just take action and just like put our blinders on and be like, I'm not going to look at the outcomes. I don't want to see them because that means I'm in my ego. That's not it. The actions, the outcomes you're seeking are, do I learn something about myself? Do I become an evolved version of myself? Do I open myself up to an opportunity that feels stretchy for me? Do I learn more about my ego in this process because I got wrapped up in the spiral and that's a gift? Have I given myself the opportunity to explore an action that's actually stretching me beyond who I currently am? Here's what I believe. Feel free to try this on. Yeah, Sam. And this is where it gets messy. This is the mess, right? Does it have to change you? Because that in itself seems egoic, seeking an outcome. I feel like, and this is where I got stuck. This is where I got stuck in a spiral for like an hour before this call. I'm like, where do I take them in this? Because this, like, we could forever do that dance. Do you know what I mean? And I think that takes us back to the very beginning around how it's okay that ego's there. It's okay that ego's there, but understand that your ego is changing with you down this path. And I think that's the difference. The ego itself in this path isn't trying to keep you the same. The ego, you're allowing your ego to evolve with you, right? It's growing with you. Its realm of possibility is evolving with you. What it feels comfortable with is changing with you. So now you still have a helicopter mom, but instead of you're only allowed to go to the park and don't go down the big slide, maybe now you're allowed to go down the big slide because it's evolved with you. And then in your next evolution, maybe now you're allowed to run down the street and play with your friend because it's evolved with you. It's still helicopter momming you. It still wants to make you safe, but it isn't keeping you stuck in the same place forever and ever and ever on a constant loop, right? Does that make sense? That's the way I've decided to look at it. And the other layer to this is when you take actions in your life, in your business, that ask you to change as a person, to evolve as a person, to find your edge and choose to step into it instead of listening to the fear, the yeah buts of the ego. Yeah, but you don't have the money. Yeah, but you don't have the time. And change that yeah, but from a reason why you can't to a reason why you have to. Your external environment will shift to mirror who you're becoming. Let that sink in. When I take an action that challenges my current perception of possibility and asks me to evolve who I am, this can be big or small. Your outside environment, your external circumstance will evolve to match, to mirror back to you who you're becoming. Inside of that exists the degree of safety. In my mind, there is no example I could come up with that would refute that. For example, let's say, for me, I'll use a personal example. Okay, maybe this will land for you and allow you to see yourself. And Nicole, I see your question. I'm going to come to that in a minute. I have a goal to write my first book this year. And that can start as a mind-based goal, right? I'm going to write my first book and I'm going to write a chapter a month. And then I want to get it published by this company. And I want to get it in the hands of every coach out there and like all outcome-based, mind-based goals. That's great. But if I choose instead to internalize this as I don't need this book to do anything other than be written in order for me to feel complete with it, if I choose to take it internally and access my inner safety first, now my intention with writing a book is I want to wake up every day and simply express. I want to write and I want no timeline on it. I want no outcome necessarily from it. I want this to be an outlet for me to express in a new way. And through the writing process, create opportunities to challenge outdated versions of myself who in this moment today, I literally just did this work yesterday, last night, I was sitting with this. In this very moment, I have doubts of who's going to read this. I have doubts of, can I finish it? I have doubts of, will this be good enough? I have doubts of, will people judge what I have to say? Because it's going to go against a lot and it's going to shake up a lot. Am I safe in this? Right? Those all come up. But if I shift that internally and I detach from the outcome and I exist in this inner safety that I'm learning to create from within, the goal becomes, let me just write every day. Let me trust myself to do that. Let me find joy in the process of that. And let me use this as an opportunity to meet those edges of, am I good enough? Will people judge me? Will people buy it? Is this going to do what I want it to do in the industry? Will this reach the people that I really want it to reach? Now in taking that action, I'm actually creating opportunity to work with those parts of myself in the process. And that's a gift. Like, those parts don't get to lead, but I do get to see them. Okay. Woo, I'm going back up. Nicole says, what about the outcome of just being to be of the highest service to all? Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't always stretch me, but feels like it's for the highest good. Well, actually, I would challenge the idea that it doesn't stretch you, because in order to have the outcome of, I just want to be of the highest service to all, you are completely detached from any monetary gain. You are completely detached from how many people that is and in what way that comes to you. And I would say that there's probably work to do there. Right? Being at the highest service of all to all is like monk status. Right? It is, though. It is. It's like, I am just existing on a mountain and I exist to be of the highest service to all, which is a beautiful thought. But I would challenge you that that thought doesn't come without some degree element of ego. And you can move from that place anyways. Like, if you chose to move from, I want this to be to the highest service of all, what decisions would you make differently if that was actually 100% truly embodied? Would your program cost $500 a month, or would it cost $50?
Hi again. Before you go, I wanted to make sure you knew about the Secret Garden. This is my private membership where I give you unlimited access to all my best stuff, like my entire trigger mapping curriculum, all my workshops, monthly immersive live events, weekly live calls, and different layers of support, each designed for you to access at the depth that you desire. I designed it to stretch you to new edges as a coach and a leader, to unravel your conditioning and wake you up to your truth so you can stand in your gift and lead your people from that place. I've linked it up in the show notes for you to explore more when it feels good for you. Okay, I'll see you back here soon. Love ya.